Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Lori.
That is correct. And I'm not even going to lie, the reason I chose this topic is because I saw a head... I'm not going to lie, the reason I picked this topic is because I saw a headline on Instagram this week that caught my attention, because I am obsessed with the royal family, as many of our faithful listeners would know.
And as your co-host would know.
Yes. But today...
Should see this one on face.
Guys, I just like the drama that surrounds all of it. But anyway, today we're going to talk about something that will make you rethink history textbooks. How Queen Victoria, yes, Queen Victoria, she was literally known... I mean, that's why they call it the Victorian era. Like, she was no small person, okay? Yeah. She was one of England's greatest queens, okay? Has been called the biggest drug dealer in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the headline I saw.
I don't know if this should come as any
Instagram.
Surprise to me. I'm joking. If unfortunately this wasn't on video, because otherwise you would have seen the look on her face, which again goes to show how much she loves the royal family.
Yo, guys, okay, maybe I should say it like this. I love the royal family because of their connection to history, and I'm a history buff. So, yeah. I mean, it's not even just the current royal family, it's the royals of the past, etc., etc. But yeah. We're not going to get... That is not the point of the show.
Definitely
okay,
not.
Okay, so...
We're not chasing a ball.
Listen, we had this discussion with my family members and they agreed with me. The point...
And I'm disgusted with them.
The ball. You can't play football. Okay, I'm not...
If you don't understand the context of what we're saying, listen to the previous week's show.
Yes, agreed. But I'm not... It will just rile me up. We're not going to discuss this right now. Okay. When we think of drug kingpins, we think of Pablo Escobar, Al Chapo, maybe Frank Lucas. But what if I told you that the largest and most profitable drug empire in history was run under the banner of the British Crown, and at its head, a monarch who never personally touched a poppy, but whose empire flooded China with opium for profit?
Okay.
Yeah. This is the story of the Opium Wars, the bloody, brutal, and morally bankrupt conflicts that made Britain rich and addicted millions. Okay, so you know, is opium heroin?
I don't know. It might be.
Because I remember poppies are used in heroin. Poppies.
Not cocaine.
No, it's poppies.
No, I mean like heroin, I mean opium is not cocaine maybe. Because I don't know.
I think maybe opium is... Heroin is produced from morphine, which is a principal component of opium. Opium is a naturally occurring substance that is extracted from the seed pod of opium poppy. Okay, so they're not the same thing. But they're on the same lines.
Yeah.
Heroin is highly addictive. Well, more addictive, and is derived from opium. So
yeah.
Opium is an ingredient in heroin, and poppy is an ingredient in opium.
Yeah.
So therefore, poppy is an ingredient of...
Because I also looked it up, and you know, just a short description from Google. It says opium is a dried latex obtained from the seed capsules of the opium poppy, Papaver somniferum.
I'm so excited. The next book I'm reading is about the Opium Wars. I'm like, this has even made me more excited.
It says
to
approximately
read it.
12% of opium is made up of the morphine stuff that you're mentioning.
It's so funny how a plant can be so dangerous.
Yeah. Look at weed, for example.
It's yeah,
got almost
it's the
same. Entire
it's like
world
a plant.
Colonized.
It's like ridiculous. Like the small little, and poppies are really pretty. Like the small little pretty flower can cause such damage. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So if you see a dog eating a poppy flower.
Yo, that might not end very well.
Mm.
Okay. So let's set the stage. It's early 1800s. Britain is the most powerful empire on earth, but there's a problem. Okay, take a guess what the problem is, because I guarantee you won't get it right. But I want to see your guesses.
Oh.
No, because I want you to be so shocked when I tell you what the problem actually was.
Just tell me.
No, no, you have to guess. I'll give you two guesses.
Okay.
No, I'm not giving you a clue. I just want you to think, like, a worldwide empire. What would a problem be for a worldwide empire?
I don't know. Someone is, like, trying to...
Just give
like
something.
Overthrow the empire.
Okay, that is a valid point, but no. The problem was tea.
Don't tell me they were making tea from opium.
But the problem is tea. Okay, guys, I love tea. Glory's a coffee drinker, but I'm a tea drinker.
I also enjoy one type of tea.
Currently, you're a bit more of a coffee drinker, but yeah. I can't drink coffee, so I'm a tea drinker. Okay. So the problem is tea. The British were basically addicted to tea. And I mean, we know this. Look at British culture. I mean, there was the Boston Tea Party in America happened because they chucked tea overboard because they were upset with Britain. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, they really brought a new level to this tea party thing.
You understand? By 1830, tea was actually Britain's national drink. And almost all of it comes from China. The Chinese, however, didn't care much for British goods. They only wanted silver.
Yeah.
Britain was bleeding silver just to keep its people's teacups full. So Britain had all these nice things and China's like, no, the only thing we want from you for our tea is silver. And then Britain was like literally working double over triple time to get silver, but it came at a cost, right?
Yeah.
All for tea. Like, I love tea, but I don't love tea that much.
Yeah.
Okay. Enter the British East India Company, a corporation with the backing of the crown and its own army. They have something China doesn't want yet: opium. They grow it in massive plantation in British-controlled India. It's addictive.
British-controlled?
Yes, so Britain was controlling India. Yes, that's why it was called the British East India Trading Company. If you watch Pirates of the Caribbean, they actually play a huge role in the franchise as not the main villains, but like side villains that are causing Jack Sparrow and them some headaches. So it's them, right? So they were growing it on these plantations and it's addictive, it's valuable and illegal in China. But that's just a speed bump when there's profit to be made. Because you know when money's to be made, what's illegal? Is that even a word?
No. Nope.
Okay. This is where Britain's role as the ultimate drug dealer begins. Smugglers, backed by the East India Company, start shipping tons of opium into China. And when I say tons, I mean literal mountains of the stuff. In 1820, it's about 5,000 chests. By the late 1830s, it's over 40,000 chests, each weighing around 140 pounds.
100 and what?
140 pounds. I need to convert this because I want to know the kilos.
2 kilos. Wouldn't it be like maybe 120 kilograms?
100? Each chest weighed 64 kilos of heroin.
Off.
64 kilos of opium. Not heroin, sorry. Opium. That's more than me. I weigh less than 64 kilos.
What?
40,000.
That's crazy.
Okay, so 40,000 times 64 is 2.5 million kilos of heroin.
What are we doing with our lives?
And 2.5 million kilos of heroin is tens of millions of dosages, because obviously you're not getting a whole kilo each. You're giving people like, what, 10 grams?
10 grams. Maybe
I
like...
I keep saying heroin, but I mean opium. You get what I'm saying.
500 grams.
Imagine.
Even 500 grams would be a lot. So yeah. Probably like... How much money is it?
Don't you buy like 10... I think 500 grams of opium would kill you.
You're not obviously consuming that in one go.
That's also fair. But that would also be like a hell of a lot of money. 500 grams of heroin.
Yeah.
Opium.
That's the correct word.
Opium. Guys, you understand my heart, not my words. The Chinese population becomes hooked. Addiction spreads like wildfire, devastating families, wrecking the workforce, and draining silver out of the country. The Chinese emperor tries to stop it. In 1839, he appoints commissioner, and I don't speak Chinese, but I'm going to try, Lin Zexu, who famously seizes and destroys over 20,000 chests of opium. Yo, that 20, would be 000. A hell of a lot of profit that the British had just lost. Britain's reaction? Outrage. Of course, you're taking our stuff. How dare the Chinese destroy British property? Never mind the fact that it was illegal drugs. But, you know, like we said, nothing is illegal, clearly, when profits are to be made.
Nothing at all.
And so the British government, under Queen Victoria's reign, sends in the Royal Navy. This began the First Opium War. I didn't even know there were more than one. In 1839 to 1842. Okay, so that's 3 years. Four years. It's not a fair fight. Britain's military is modern, industrial, and ruthless. The Qing Dynasty forces are no match. After 3 years, China is forced to sign the Treaty of Nanking. The terms? Britain gets Hong Kong. The whole city of Hong Kong. And if you learn history, that plays a massive role later on in history.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go into that. And I actually didn't realize this was when Britain received Hong Kong. I didn't know that. I learned that, which is very interesting. They got it out of a drug war. Imagine a whole city. And Hong Kong is pretty central for China.
Yeah.
Okay. Several ports are opened for British trade, and opium continues to flow, now under the thin disguise of legal trade. This isn't just a victory, it's the legitimization of one of the largest narcotics trafficking operations in history. It's literally legal. Okay. Fast forward a decade. Tensions rise again as Britain demands even more trade rights. France, obviously, decides they want in. And together they launch the Second Opium War, which was 1856 to 1860. Again, China is crushed, more ports are open, more rights are given to Western powers, and the opium trade, well, it was bigger than ever. By the mid-19th century, millions of Chinese are addicted. Britain's profits are astronomical. The East India Company's opium revenue props up the empire, funds its navy, and expands colonial reach, all while Queen Victoria's government turns a blind eye to human destruction. I mean, they could literally fund the whole country.
How did this lady not get arrested?
She's the queen! And in those days... Okay, so here's the thing, right? Currently, in Britain, the monarch has no power. They just are like the head of the church, and they're more there for tourist attraction, honestly. But in those days, Queen Victoria had all the control. You did what she said, or you had your head cut off, type of vibe. That's why nobody stood up to her. And you forget about it. In the 1800s, what global news is there? Who knows what's going on in China besides China and Britain?
True.
It's not like Portugal knows. I mean, maybe there's rumors, but do you get what I'm saying?
Yikes.
Yikes. It's a little bit shady over there. I exited my note. Okay. So, where does Queen Victoria herself come in? She wasn't actually in the streets selling opium, but as monarch, she was the symbolic and political head of the British Empire. The wars were fought in her name, and the treaties were signed under her reign. But I mean, the fact they called the Opium Wars, it's not like the China-English War. It's Opium War. I mean, that's wild in itself. Okay. And the East India Trading Company operated under royal charter, meaning the crown directly enabled this drug empire. Some historians argue she was simply a figurehead. Others, that she bore more moral responsibility for allowing this trade to flourish. I mean, if she was the queen, she could have been like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. Regardless, under her reign, Britain was the largest drug trafficker in the world, moving more narcotics than any cartel in history. So let's talk numbers. By 1880, it's estimated that over... Now listen to this. This is wild. 12 million Chinese people were addicted to opium. 12 million.
Yo,
12 like million
that,
people.
That's a whole pandemic.
That's some countries don't even have that as a population.
You wonder why COVID spread so quickly.
Wow.
Unpopular opinion.
Families bankrupted themselves. Productivity collapsed in some regions, and China's political stability was shattered. And the wars left tens of thousands dead, not to mention the long-term humiliation of what China calls its century of national humiliation. This wasn't just a trade dispute. It was a calculated choice to profit from human misery. That's a lot for me. Like opium, you can get addicted and you can die. You can overdose. It's a drug. I mean, this is literally profiting from people's misfortunes.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, creating the misfortunes to start with.
Exactly. And it left scars that still shape geopolitics today. Queen Victoria is remembered in Britain as a symbol of stability and progress, but in China, her name is tied to one of the greatest crimes in the 19th century. In 2020, Chinese state media even referred to her, and I quote, as the world's biggest drug dealer. And if we define drug dealer as someone who profits from selling narcotics, well, the crown she wore presided over the most successful, ruthless, and deadly drug trade in history. So yes, that is Queen Victoria. I think this is so interesting. It is so interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, we'll never get answers because these people are all dead for a very long time already.
Yeah, but someone has the secrets, surely.
No, but, no, I mean, this stuff would, I mean, there might be a couple of, like, papers and stuff lying around, but it will die with history, unfortunately. But I definitely think this is something Britain is to blame. It is definitely a part of history that they were not the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's not like China had completely cut them off. They were willing to trade. Britain just didn't have the silver to keep up. All for tea, actually. That's a bit ridiculous. It started with they needed more tea, so let's get people addicted to drugs. I mean, that's wild. That's wild. For tea. It's not even like gold or diamonds.
Yeah.
What would they have done for gold and diamonds is another story, because if you do that for tea, I don't want to know. But it's quite sad because, you know, if you look at China throughout history, they were actually a very strong empire, a very strong ancient civilization. And even if you look at China today, they're very disciplined. I mean, they're not exactly 100% correct in all their policies and things like that currently, but they're very disciplined people. And I mean, to get 12 million people addicted to opium, I mean, they even had opium dens. And they actually had opium dens also in Britain, because they'd ship some of the opiums back to...
Yeah.
But here's the thing. In Britain, they were completely illegal. If you were found in an opium den, you were arrested. So the same thing you are literally arresting people for and shutting down these dens in your own country, you are willingly shipping into another country and being like, here you go, have it.
Crazy. So,
how did this even get them more tea? Did they trade the opium for tea? This is
what if they put the opium in the tea?
But
people are addicted
to
tea.
Get the tea from China. We don't have the tea yet. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So for me, this is a messed up situation. Like, this is taking something and doing the most worst extreme solution you could possibly think. Besides going in there and just shooting everybody straight, which they did because they did fight the war. I truly believe this probably is the biggest narcotic scheme that has faced the planet in history. I mean, Pablo Escobar has some competition.
Wow.
It's true. It's true. I mean, yeah, he was a cocaine. What is cocaine made from?
Who knows?
Coconut. No, I'm joking.
Wow.
Because I always know. It's always weird to find out, like, vodka is made from potatoes, and I think tequila is made from like a plant.
Yeah, well.
And like gin and stuff is made from grains.
Yeah.
So like,
I mean,
leaves of the coca plant.
Coca.
Coca, yeah. Yeah, C O C A.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. That's not the same as cacao, which is what chocolate is made from. Okay, well, I suppose cocaine to make sense. But anyway, yeah. So I thought this was a very interesting story because I feel like this is very much hidden. Like, you hear about. Honestly, I'd heard about opium wars, but it wasn't like something that I'd like focused on in my study of history. But I think this is very interesting and I'd like to actually know more. So, yes, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to add?
I'm just thinking it's quite fascinating seeing that how much people take to the extreme. Like, if you look at like what we discovered in the show, obviously the production of opium, and now we just out of the blue also looked at
cocaine.
Where does cocaine come from? And obviously these are things ancient practices that were used as medicine that people take to the extreme, and yeah, we have drugs.
No, but I mean, this is with any medication. If you take any medication to the max, you can overdose. But
I'm just saying,
die,
as someone who is not necessarily directly invested in the biology of plants, it's quite interesting to think that these things actually all come from.
But this is where the thing is, you know, everything in moderation. Do you get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but what I'm actually expressing is that I didn't think that actually, wait, a plant could like drug you.
Yeah, but I mean, even think about sugar. Sugar can become addictive if you're not careful. It can cause diabetes. I don't think there's any reason we should be having opium at all. But it's quite scary what God gave us in nature. Humans have taken and turned into something so destructive.
Yeah.
Even think about this. God gives us metal, we build guns.
Yeah.
God gives us plants, we make drugs. God gives us... I'm trying to think of another example. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, I suppose, at the end of the day, excuse me using this quote from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Us as humans have the power over this earth. We have authority, we have control of how things are done and things like that. But when you don't take responsibility, you have 12 million people becoming addicted
to heroin.
Opium.
Sorry, not heroin. Now that's
tea.
For
tea. My goodness. Drink water. There's plenty of that around the world. Yes.
Start splashing cocaine minerals.
Every time I drink tea now, I'm going to think of this topic. But anyway.
Throw cocaine in the water reservoirs.
Wow. Heroin is worse than cocaine, right? Or are they like similar?
No idea.
No idea. Because I know those are two like of the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
Like if you take that ish.
I think crystal might be.
Crystal meth?
Hmm.
I don't think that's
I think it's
worse.
High up there.
Is that up there as well?
Yeah.
Oh, well, who knows? We don't know. Anyway, that is the biggest drug dealer in history, being Queen Victoria and the British Empire. We hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Stay updated and stay entertained. The Native FM. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us like post, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. Active FM. Radio has never been better.